do you think your HBCU created like a different cultural lens for you to celebrate your culture, you know, become who you are, and also represent, you know, like you represent it now. So how do you think your HBCU prepared you for that?
Well, I think go into an environment where you're surrounded by, number one, Black excellence on a daily basis, mm-hmm. but also educators who are not only teaching you about your history and math and science, but they're teaching you through a lens of your culture and from your culture, mm-hmm. and teaching you about stories that you wouldn't hear from a different organization or a different institute. Like you wouldn't hear this at a predominantly white institution.
Right.
But you're hearing stories about the African American experience and Africa in general, how there were technologies that we invented, that we founded, that ended up being taken. You get the lens of the Moors' impact on Europe and how we helped shape the understanding of what the world really has turned out to be, more so than just through this narrow lens of the predominantly white history that we're fed in many other locations. So I think it broadened my diversity of thought to not only look at, if that's the story of African Americans and Black people that we never hear about in African history and Afro-Caribbean and Afro-Latino history, then how much more so for even Asian community? How much even more so for the Hispanic or Latino experience in general? And it gave me a curiosity to want to seek further, and that's probably how I ended up being a multicultural strategist now, is that I had that deep thirst for these stories from all of these different cultures and how they represent the world and how they've impacted everything that we have. I mean, we use Arabic numbers to this day, and nobody goes into the idea, like, we're not using Greek and Roman numbers, but we look at life through this lens of Western civilization that started in Greece and Rome, and it's like, well, nah.
Right.
There's a little more than just the Europeanized story that we need to be aware of, and that goes from everything from East Asian to Indian Asian to every single culture that has made the gumbo that is this world today. So, yeah, I would say that.
Okay, cool. Now, you talk about being a multicultural strategist,
yes.
right? Explain what that is, and what are your day-to-day responsibilities?
So, as a senior multicultural strategist, it's my job to connect brands with culture on a larger level than just surface understanding of a consumer. And not only just observe and take those observations and create excellent creative from them, but to actually find ways for brands to participate in culture and give something to those cultures while they're representing them, not necessarily just take and basically appropriate. So when I'm exploring, and so my day-to-day duties consist of also managing from what we do from a McDonald's side, so I'm doing general branding strategy as well, so I'm still a brand strategist at heart, so I still have to do the major level of brand strategy. So everything from writing the creative briefs that, you know, really take the emergence between data, cultural trends, and the brand expression that they want to put forward in the world, and finding a way to connect all those in easily translatable way to creatives for them to then make the next TV commercial or the next radio commercial from. But also I add in the layer of understanding multicultural consumers and putting yourself in those shoes and those situations so you can tell authentic stories that are actually backed with proof points that go beyond just the pure numbers, but also the cultural sentiment that those people represent.
So how do you know if they're understanding what you're giving them? You know what I'm saying? Like,
it is a constant dialogue, and that is part of it. It's a very collaborative experience when you're a strategist. You're a muse. Your job is to take all of this excess information that no one understands, like 76% of people behave this way when they do this, 37% of African Americans believe this, 42% of Hispanic and Latino Americans like to shop this way or behave this way, and they're not going to look at that from a creative standpoint. That's just gobbledygook. to them.
Right,
it's just
right.
random numbers.
Right.
So I have to take that and then translate that back to what's going on within culture and within those segments right now, and then have that conversation to give them this one line or this one spark that can then inspire them to create something greater.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a give and take, because mm-hmm. sometimes you'll come up with the great line right away and they're able to take something away from that creative brief and go and run and bring back something great.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they don't really get that line, and you have to work with them to help them understand
mm-hmm.
what you're trying to communicate and what the goal that the client ultimately wants expressed is.
Yeah.
And so it's more of a dialogue than anything else. You know, we have what we call creative briefings, where we sit down, we discuss the creative brief. They ask if, and you know, you, does this make sense to you? Do you, is this inspiring to you? Sometimes it's yes. Sometimes it's, I'm not really connecting to this line. Can we go back and can we retool some of this? And can you look at a couple of other ways in for us to truly get to the ultimate goal?